We're reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, the article, The Peace. The Peace, an empirical scientific research about the necessity of the work of the Creator.
Look at what a subtitle Baal HaSulam gives to the article. He's very serious. An empirical scientific research about the necessity of, by what? About the necessity, the commitment, the obligation of working the Creator, of performing actions where the upper force in nature obliges us to do so. Please.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And it shall come to pass that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, who shall be left in Ashur, and from Egypt, and Patros, and Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and Hamat, and the islands of the sea. Rabbi Shimon said, the Lord did not find a vessel to hold the blessing for Israel, but peace. As it was said, the Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord bless his people with peace.
Well, this will be clearer to us after we go through the article. But this is a very important article, meaning from this, well, it's also called this way, the peace, something, such things that we're used to relate to with kind of, in a very light manner. But it's actually to the contrary. This is the most important topic and the most needed subject and the most relevant one. And we will see how we are truly before this aspect of peace, we're not capable of accepting it, receiving it, and that's why all our problems stem from there. All the problems, the whole third world war and fourth world war that is possible, all of that is only because we don't understand the concept of peace. Please.
After having demonstrated in the previous articles the general form of his work, whose essence is nothing more, nothing less than the love of others, particularly determined as bestow upon others, meaning that the actual manifestation of love of others is bestow of goodness upon others. Love of others should therefore be determined as bestow upon others, which is the best suited for its content, aiming to ensure we do not forget the intention. Now we know for certain the conduct of his work. There still remains to inquire whether we accept this work on faith alone, without any scientific, empirical basis, or do we also have an empirical basis for this? This is what I want to prove in the essay before us. But first, I must thoroughly prove the subject itself, meaning, who is it who accepts our work? But I am not an enthusiast of formative philosophy, since I dislike theoretical-based studies, and it is well known that most of my contemporaries agree with me. For we are too familiar with such foundations, which are rickety foundations. And when the foundation fluctuates, the whole building tumbles. Therefore, I have come here to speak only through critique of empirical reason, beginning from the simple recognition no one disagrees with, through proving analytically, separating various elements in an issue, until we come to determine the utmost topic. And it will be tested synthetically, the connection and unity between matters such as inference and the all the more so, how his work is confirmed and reaffirmed by simple recognition from the practical aspect.
Meaning, in this article, he wants to show us that we must perform special actions in thought and in our desire and in action. What actions I don't know, but that we must do on behalf of nature, these actions, which we don't usually do. And these actions are actions of connection, nearing to one another against our desire. We are doing actions here against our desire once in a while. So what's the problem? According to my desire, I would lay down all day. Yes? That's it. But I have to get up and work and so on. Meaning, what is the problem here? The problem is that here I need to work against my desire in connecting to people, in annulling my ego. And that's the problem. Okay, so we will see why nature obliges us and how much it obliges us. Please. The next heading, contradictions in providence. Every reasonable person who examines the reality before us finds two complete opposites in it. Because when examining creation, its reality and its conduct, there is an apparent and affirmed leadership of great wisdom and skill. One, both regarding the formation of reality, and two, the securing of its existence in general. Let us take the making of a human being as an example. The love and pleasure of the progenitors is its first reason, guaranteed to perform its duty. When the essential drop is extracted from the father's brain, Providence has very wisely secured a safe place for it, which qualifies it to receive life. Providence also gives it its daily bread in the exact amount. Providence has also prepared a wonderful foundation for it in its mother's womb so that no stranger might harm it. And it tends to its every need like a trained nanny who will not forget it for a moment until it has acquired the strength to emerge into our world. At that time, Providence briefly lends it just enough strength to break the walls that surround it.
When we hear the reader, we have to try to incorporate in what we're hearing the words of Baal HaSulam and connect through them. That's our work now. As much as we all want to feel what's written and together, to feel it together. That's what's important. I'm not reading information here. It's not so important for me what's written. It's more important for me as much as I connect to us reading together with the friends and with Bala Sulam and with the Creator that awakened them to write this. And then already make a spiritual action in the lesson, an active action that actually works on me and on my friends to build one vessel and in it reveal what we're actually learning here, which are spiritual actions that will reveal them. Yes.
And like a trained armed warrior, it breaks an opening and emerges into the world. Then too, Providence does not abandon it. And like a loving mother, it brings it to such loving, loyal people that you can trust, called mother and father, to assist it through its days of weakness until it grows and can sustain itself on its own. Just as man, so are all the animals, plants and inanimate, all are wisely and mercifully cared for to ensure their own existence and the continuation of their species. But those who examine that reality from the perspective of provision and persistence of that existence can clearly see great disorder and confusion, just as though there were no leader and no guidance here. Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes, building himself on the ruin of others. The evil thrive, and the righteous are trampled mercilessly. Bear in mind that the oppositeness set before the eyes of every sensible, educated person has preoccupied humanity even in ancient times, and there are many methods to explain these two apparent opposites in Providence, which occupy the same world.
For now, I don't see any questions. We don't have philosophers here, I guess. It's not important to them. They just want quick, short sentences about working the Creator. You want to ask?
Yes, can I ask also about the previous part?
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand if that subtitle he writes, the obligation of the service of the Creator, and if it's so obligative, why do we not start to work with that to start with? Why do not we not work according to the laws of nature?
So then we'd be like the still vegetative inanimate. Our degree, the speaking level, that we ourselves have to know where the laws come from, who's above our nature, in what nature is he himself, to know him, and make of ourselves something that resembles him. We have a completely different role here.
I understand that we need that oppositeness to get there, but he says, and at the end of the first part, that his servitude is enabled and turns out from a very simple way, from a practical way, meaning it should be clear to everyone that we must serve the Creator, work in this providence.
No. If the Creator was revealed, we wouldn't have a problem.
Not in a disclosed way. He says that it's clear that we have to work him, not that the Creator is revealed.
So what does it mean to work the Creator?
So maybe that's not what I understand. What is Bala Sulam said? It's so clear and noted to anyone who looks at nature. It's so clear that we need to serve the Creator.
That we need to understand nature that is above us. And we need to know how we come close to it and identify with it.
Here too, from what he says, he said that as much as a person emerges to the light of the world, he only has problems, and that's all he can actually identify in reality.
Yeah.
How can you even identify that there's a creator who's with providence here?
We're not turning to that created being that was just created. We're speaking about wise people that went through generations and had the question, why, for what, why is this life so difficult and coming down on us in such a way? Why are we, the wise ones, the complex ones, made from all forms of nature, suffering more than everybody? And that's what brought them into research, and from this, all kinds of different approaches developed towards nature, until they discover that it's a special force that is performing this on purpose in order to bring us conditions to rise above ourselves, and then to be above all of reality. And that too, we have to attain on our own and get better at it.
Meaning is already turning to these sophisticated people that have a discernment of this being oppositeness.
The rest are like beasts. They haven't reached such a development that it's important to them. Our desire is to know our King. We want to know the Creator. We want to feel Him, understand Him, to be in contact with Him. In all kinds of degrees. There's also 4 degrees.
But
that's what we want. That's why we're drawn to it and we discover it. But the rest, not important to them. That's why instead of research, true research, they engage in research that is false because they want to discover it in their vessels, the spiritual world, the spiritual force, that it's not able to, because then they don't have contact with the Creator. So to depict the Creator without contact with Him, it's philosophy. Yeah.
And as long as we're not in a spiritual degree, what's the difference in our study and from other researches, other studies?
In the direction. Through what am I advancing? Here I'm advancing through advice of Kabbalists or advice of philosophers, let's say. That's the difference. And that's the question. As much as a person with his point in the heart is emphasized, revealed, and then except for the wisdom of Kabbalah, he can't take anything except for it. Or he can exchange it with all kinds of philosophies, beliefs, all kinds of tricks. And according to that, all of humanity too is divided into many kinds. Next. Okay. We have a question here. Yes, Natanya.
In the article, Baal HaSulam writes,
I can't hear anything of what you're saying, nothing, except for noise. PT 13.
Most of humanity don't even engage in this question, even very intellectual people. If you raise the question because the person is helpless relative to it, then he rather is not to engage in it. And it's really,
if man would know that there's an answer, many more people would start scrutinizing the truth, because a person doesn't have a greater question of what he's living for and what goal he can reach through his life.
But even educated people that you can't even put up the question because the lack of an answer immediately shuts a person off and he feels threatened by it. And then it's like you can't, there's no way to penetrate him. The question itself is so threatening, so challenging.
Wait, a person living, and he is told that you can understand the essence of life, the next world. Who's managing him? In what direction? In every moment he's revolving in, through a force that's managing him. A person alive doesn't want to know this. He wants to know it.
He's not capable of letting go of what he has to hear it.
He doesn't need to leave anything. Nobody's telling him to go to a monastery or to go into a hunger strike or whatever. Nothing.
But he still doesn't allow himself to hear this. You see that he's simply blocked. It's like he puts like an iron shield before him and doesn't want to touch. He doesn't want to even challenge himself with that question even.
Because we aren't explaining enough that this question is the question of his life. The question of our life. If we don't know what we exist for, so what should we exist for? So we should just clog our mind, should watch some kind of movie or take a pill, and in that, let's finish with the true reality. I understand that it could be good for someone, because then you disconnect yourself, whatever will be after me, not important for me. But if we still suffer in our life, and the Creator doesn't let us go and constantly increases our suffering more and more, so it's worth knowing what we're alive for and how we can make this life also here and now different, good, and also after we leave this world.
With that, a person, it's so logical and so requested on one hand, but on the other hand, a person doesn't want to hear it. It's like it's good with him with the problems that he has, and he's not willing.
You're saying it on a person that doesn't want to hear because he didn't hear yet. That's why you can't say whether he wants it or not. In order to know that he doesn't want it, he still has to hear about it. So the problem is in our approach, how we open the abilities before him. That's something completely different.
How
is the question? But you can't say a person doesn't want to hear, because he's living life. He can't get rid of it, even if he dies, so he goes into a different reality. And still, here we need to try and come up to a person and explain it in a simple way, how you can change this life for eternity, that we raise ourselves above time and place. But just not wanting to hear it all, that's the lack of your approach. That's the lack of your approach.
I see that we're trying to explain in many ways, and
I'm not saying you're not trying. I'm still saying that our approach is still not right. How to find it? Ask me. I also don't know. We have to try more and more, and that's it. And then it'll be revealed to us. But I don't think we should raise our hands and give up and say, oh, you don't want to hear about it, we're closing our business. Because we're obligated by those Kabbalists And we understand from the general framework of the soul of Adam Rishon that we must be concerned of everybody, especially the last generation. We have to be concerned of everyone that they'll know what creation is and what the purpose of creation is and what a person's obligation is and how to participate in it.
You can really feel the concern of the friends for everyone. You see, the friends are crying. They want to be able to pass on the message to the people that are precious to them, to their societies. And still, we can't give birth to an explanation. It really hurts.
I'm listening to you crying for 15 minutes that we can't. Okay, I heard it. Enough. So we don't have an explanation. It doesn't mean we have to stop and not search and leave our work alone. There's one thing and there's a second thing. So I have a baby, God forbid if he's sick, and I don't have a medicine right now, but I'm constantly searching for something.
Turkey one.
Thank you.
Turkey one.
Thank you, dear Rav. My friend is asking, can you explain the meaning of the kid mentioned at the beginning of the article?
The small child is humanity that is on the degree of man, Adam, will be able to rise above all the degrees of nature and be as an adult towards all of nature and towards the upper force as smaller than him. And in this way, to be the connecting part between the Creator and all parts of nature, all the created beings. That's an allegory. We have such an expression of the whole system that's supposed to be revealed in Gemar Tikkun. Moscow 1.
Даров, спасибо. Вот мы стремимся к жизни, да, чтобы раскрыть жизнь. А получается, что как бы смерть.
We want to discover life. It turns out that there's no such thing as death.
Или мы нигде не находимся. Извините, конечно.
We need to discover this in our spiritual development. I don't feel that I can open this secret to you.
No.
It's better that you have this question mark and it'll push you into advancement. Moscow 4.
Раф, вот есть еще одна проблема, не то чтобы человек не хочет слушать.
Раф, there's an additional problem. Not only does the person not want to hear, like it was asked before, but he thinks that this purpose is pretty clear for him, and the purpose is corporeal, let's say, to reach some success. And there are also many other methods, including modern techniques.
This is what we have to learn about. This is the continuation of this article. You're right. There's a lot of things that are confusing man, and then they can't even hear about something that belongs to the wisdom of Kabbalah, to the truth. Correct?
No.
If possibly, another question with your permission.
What?
You said lately, and I remembered it, that all these harsh systems of control, nature won't support all kinds of governmental, harsh methods. But there will be a certain softening of this. I didn't quite understand, because how can it be a change in the world if we don't come to the recognition of evil?
I can't start explaining your private question now instead of this whole article. How are you asking in such a way? Speak to your friends, scrutinize the words, scrutinize your things, and maybe later, but not at such a time. How can you do that? Even the question has to be more clear. And from that, you'll get the answer. Think about it a lot and talk to the friends, first of all. Clear? Tel Aviv 4.
Thank you very much, Rav. Good morning. Why does a person like Bala Sulam engage so much with philosophy, and do we also need...
It's not philosophy, it's the approach towards life. What is philosophy? Where is it born from? From people wanting to understand nature, their life, and how to organize things. That's why they engaged in it. It's not that they went to the university 10,000 years ago. But they, throughout many generations, years and years, even thousands of years, in humanity, an approach formulated towards nature, the forces of nature, the way you manage them, relation towards man, man to them, and so on. It comes from human nature. That's how it came out naturally. It's not that some wise guy came and invented this. No. That's why, don't call it philosophy. It's just they wanted to know what nature is and how it affects us and how we need back to relate to our life.
Do we also need, let's say, in order to disseminate and reach the broad public, do we also need to acquire all kinds of different wisdoms to...
No, but we have to explain why they don't work. That is still something we have to do, and it's enough to us what we're going to learn here now. Philosophy, for sure, in our times, isn't respected and doesn't work. But all these things were in humanity because people were searching what the right way to relate to life, to the nature around us, in the forces of nature managing us. Is there some one mechanism here? Does it have one purpose? People were thinking about it because they lived in nature and it was important to them to know the system that works on them. First of all. Second, how can I work back on it? Maybe I can change something, and so on. From this, all the religious and philosophies and all kinds.
So how can we today approach people? Because it seems like there's no value to all kinds of wisdoms and such things.
Let's learn. Even to explain to people what's in this article, it's already something huge. Try and approach them in such a way. Baltia 4.
Dear Rav, maybe the key for our success can be with what Bala Sulam writes in the beginning of the article, as for the intention in order to bestow to others and the connection with the Creator, that even if we explain everything in the correct way, still the essential main condition and obligated one is bestow.
You're right. That's what we discover in the end. But here he wants to approach this problem with a blank page from the beginning without any previous opinion. This is why he approaches this in a gradual way. Okay? Okay. Where are we now? We don't have a lot of time left. So let's ask who's remaining. PT9.
Yes, Rav, you said that we need to try and read this article and flow with Baal HaSulam. So first of all, if the Creator is concealed, then how can you prove that He exists?
You can't. Only if you scrutinize what the concealment is and why he's concealed, and that this concealment is in us, and that we can change this concealment and bring it to revelation, that we ourselves conceal the Creator.
And also in this part that we read right now, he says that part of reality is under providence and governed in a perfect optimal way, and part is not under providence and it's in chaos. Where's the border between these two parts?
It's all in us. It's all in man's perception. It's not that something's happening outside of us. Our observation has to be simple. What should be changed in us in order to discover true reality without our interference? What is it? This true reality without us interfering is called Creator. And also Creator, that's already something towards us, how this reality is being revealed.
I'm trying to read as he writes. He didn't talk about the perception reality yet. So he says that some of the providence is perfect. He gives the example of a baby that develops. And relative to that, he says that when you look at it as far as the economy and the other things that in existence, there's big disorder. So a simple person, when he looks at reality, where does he see the perfection? Where does he see a mess?
He doesn't see it. We're not speaking about him. Who's saying this is a simple person? Why do you want to bring things that you can't solve later on? He's saying that philosophy and wise people throughout thousands of years were looking at reality, discussing it. They had all kinds of different ideas about it and places where they were speaking about it, and it would keep humanity busy. It kept them busy. They were interested in it until they came to such decisions or revelations.
Last question, if possible. If there is providence that's perfect, then what is this addition that we need to serve? I mean, if there's providence, it's all perfect.
The perfect guidance is brings you to perfection. And in order to bring you to perfection, you have to be incorporated of two parts, Creator and created being, and that you'll be able to discern between them and know the differences between the Creator and the created being. You're not even aware, as much as your ego is, your nature is egoistic and gives you obstacles and is not letting you ask the correct questions. It's closing you in and turning you around and constantly telling you that you're right. Not only you, all together, all of us. North 2.
Rav, how not to fall into the tricks of philosophers?
We're going to learn it from the article. That's simple.
Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, if we go with Baal HaSulam and really try to take all the discernments out of the article, there are a sea of discernments, but it's like when we're learning it with you, it's like everything passes. These discernments don't float. Why am I saying that? Because I got only once altogether to teach with a friend this article, and it's the first time that I felt that what Baal HaSulam is trying to do is opening up for me. And for years it was all blocked. How in such study can we be tight with Baal HaSulam for these discernments to float up?
I don't know. Maybe you're right, and I don't know how to explain the article. Well, maybe learn from someone else or each one from the other. Read the article a few times, please. Tell me what isn't clear. But without questions, I can't scrutinize anything here.
I want to example, for example, now when Gil said, let's say a person, to tell a person what's the meaning of life, to flood such a question on him, he doesn't know what you want, but Barasan comes with a different approach. He says, there's a paradox in the life of a person where he sees nature as perfect and whole, but his life is broken. He's kind of flooding that kind of a question in a person. And then from that, you can interest a person. There are many such points throughout the article that he wants people to understand, for people to...
I'm explaining what's written in a simple, formal way. What's on the page before us? You want to understand more? Ask according to your questions. I try to answer as much as I'm able to. That's it.
Maybe we need to do a preparation before such study with you to prepare ourselves for it.
Please. I don't understand your questions. And if I do, it doesn't seem to me that you're even in the same direction of Baal HaSulam. Yes,
Michael. Rav, can you summarize from the beginning of the article to what we read, what Baal HaSulam is actually, where is he aiming us in what he wrote so far?
He wants to say that our work, our main work is that all of us will relate in a scientific way, analytical way, an analyst synthesis that will start knowing the true reality, which is awe between two contradicting forces, reception and bestowal. And between these contradictions in providence that we feel, it's a must that we feel it, because otherwise we won't know between these two contradictions. We won't know the truth. The truth doesn't belong to the right or the left, because it's towards us, the created beings, this truth is being revealed. That's why we need to come through all this confusion. What he's writing us about, that we can only come to them by scrutiny. And scrutiny in the group and in each and every one. But it's not that a person will open his ears, clean his ear and open it and hear something and understand. He needs to go through all these things. Today we have the vessels. We've developed from all previous generations for thousands of years of development of humanity. That's why we are able today to digest this matter of uniting creation. And this is what he wants to get to. The peace article is that from two contradicting forces working in nature, we get to one force that is between them, which is the Creator. But the plus and minus in nature brings us to the middle line, which through it, we unite with the Creator.
No.
Well, Michael, is there anything else? No. Let's see the internet.
Woman.
Yes,
three questions, Rav. From PT6, do we need to explain to humanity the reason for the suffering, which are opposite to the law that exists in the system?
Yes, but we have to know how to do it. But that is the meaning of the suffering we must explain, because otherwise, what are we for? We're here to explain the suffering and the reason and how we can get rid of it. From the suffering, lift, rise above it. Next.
From Petach Tikva, is the question of the purpose of life belonging only to the dissemination to those with points in the heart, but also in the, or also the place where we're talking about the essence of life and eternality to connection and etc.?
We have to open both and disseminate to the whole world. Today, we have nothing to hide. The concealment in self by the will to receive in every person, the will to receive is what conceals from every person what he doesn't need to know for now.
Why in this world people study and effort, and for Kabbalists the Creator reveals plans, like in the matter of the peace article to Bala Sulam?
No, Bala Sulam, in order to discover what he's revealing in this article, he makes great, great efforts through many years. And then it's revealed to him, except for that, because he came from a special soul, meaning he has a special place in the soul of Adam Rishon. He's a cell in that soul, and which is very important, very central, that includes all kinds of thoughts and desires and actions. And he invested many forces in it. That's why, how should I say it? He succeeded. And he has to explain it to us.
From PT 38, what is the force of Gvura, which enables us to breach into spirituality, and what are the walls that surround us?
We'll learn about it. It's not easy to explain. It's complex. Even the force of Gvura, to explain what it is. That's it. So, where is our info? Disappeared? I don't understand. They give me an important square when I want to speak about it. Please.
Dear friends, we have to, our heart, our Latin heart is, we have an amazing announcement to give you with all our might and our love and our joy that we have. So I will pass it to Ephraim to tell you about it.
We have tomorrow our next, our boot team gathering in preparation for the Congress. It's going to be right after the lesson. And as Andres said, it's going to be us, the Latin friends, who are going to be hosting us, hosting it. So we expect you all. We really need to give us this boost in preparation. We know the world needs the light. Day by day, the ego grows and they depend on us. So let's take this step together to become that passage that they need us to be, for the sake of the Creator, humanity, and all of us. Big L'chaim, and see you tomorrow, friends. And now we go to Michael for the announcements. L'chaim.
Our schedule for tomorrow from 10 to 10:30 a.m.
Israel time, the program An Inside Look with Dr. Michael Lightman, and then from 10:30 to 11, the program, news program with Michael Lightman. And we'll conclude with a song.
Together we can change the future. Satisfied.